Blog Talk Radio.
I look into the mirror and flex my chest. My truth hammer makes a ripple effect. I win convincingly, never politely. I guess you forgot I had a voice. I tried to push you past your breaking point. You understand nothing, and you fall for everything. You turn me out, I hurt your butt.
Gay.
Being defensive won't help you much. You hear my voice, you hear that sound. Like thunder gonna shake your crown. You held me down, but I got up.
Rage.
Get ready, cause I've had enough. I see it all, I see it now. I got the eye of the tiger, a fighter, dancing through the fire.
We have such a
We are
so good together. Beautiful. Yeah, let it out. I don't think there are many people listening to that entire chorus. I think they got the point. They're going to hear me roar. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the butt hurt. I'm on fire today myself, Eli. Welcome to the show. Sorry. I got snot in my throat. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Jen is running late because her stupid chink kids are playing soccer. Like, why would you let an Asian kid even play soccer? Can they even play soccer? You play soccer.
Well, don't forget their half.
Yeah, that's true. Do they have peripheral vision because they're halfies?
Well, they're great kids. They're really smart. They got a lot of mixed genes, you know, so there's a lot of different cultures represented within their personalities.
But they're not good at soccer. Let's be real. Let's just be real. She's going to be about a half hour late, people, so it's just me and Eli. Susie can no longer do the shows on Saturday as requested that I brought up that we were going to shift the show to a Wednesday, and we're still looking into it. And she's very excited about that, but she will not be with us as long as we're on Saturday. Although I think she's doing another podcast right now, Eli. I saw on her Facebook page, and I'm wondering if I should be upset by it. I haven't talked to her or confronted her yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I would let that marinate, you know, let it, you know, take a while to think about that. I mean, she did tell you that she can't do Saturdays. I don't think she ever gave you a specific reason as to why. So maybe it's because she's working on another podcast, but I wouldn't get butthurt over it. You did tell her you're going to move the show to Wednesday, so maybe she'll take it on Wednesdays.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not butthurt necessarily. It's just she said that she was too busy to do the show at this time on Saturdays because of her kid. And I was like, okay, of course.
Oh, because of her kid, not because she's working on another show. So
no, she did not tell
me. We know she's working. Okay, so, all right.
So I'm a little butthurt because right now on her Facebook page, she's on another podcast at this time.
Right.
So, which, again, you know, I'm not paying anyone. I love Susie. She's always welcome here. But I'm just wondering if I should be upset. I'll marinate and I'll take your advice. But it's just you and I. Like the old days, man, we were back on AM together.
Yeah, and it was it's still nerve-wracking, as I remember.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous, yeah.
Why? Nobody, I told you, like, I've looked at the numbers. No one listens to the show. So you're.
I know, but, you know, it's just, I just don't like, I like talking in private. I don't like talking in public, but, you know, it's a good exposure for me, so I'll do it.
Let's look at this as, like, cognitive therapy for you, like when you had to cluck like a chicken in public. Okay, good.
That's right.
Let's put you right on the fire because I know that you didn't want to talk about this, but I'm really going to do this exposure therapy properly. For those of you who don't know what exposure therapy is, it's a new form of therapy where they actually like make you face your problems instead of just sitting there and medicating you and talking about the same thing over and over. They actually make you face your fear because it turns out when you face your fears become less. Who would have thought it, right? Genius. So Eli has a problem with being personal on the show, so I'm going to make him talk about his fight he had with his wife earlier in the week. So here it is, cognitive therapy. What happened?
Okay.
Do I need to kick her ass or what?
No, you don't need to kick her ass. She just, I think like I told you, some people respond to rejection or, you know, insults or failure in different ways. You know, some people, you know, they get upset about it. They want to be by themselves for like an hour, and then it passes. Some
Your
people
wife is not one of those
let it.
People.
No. She unfortunately
takes more of
someone
female approach, right? You would say, like, she does the woman thing where she sucks it all in, stews, and then comes home and takes it out on you all day, right? That's kind of her. That's how
that's exactly what happened. Yeah, no, I'll give
right.
you that. She,
yeah.
she, you know, when I first was noticed, or when I, in a way, she kind of put me on notice by telling me what happened. And it's really not important explaining the specifics.
Right. She had a bad day at work.
She had a bad day at work, yeah.
Right.
That was around 10 a.m. Also planned that day was we were planning on going to a concert at 8 p.m. So conversation basically concluded where she told me I would not like to attend the concert at 8 p.m. because of how I'm feeling now.
Right.
Therefore, my rational response was to tell her or to notify her just to let her know you might feel a little different maybe several hours from now prior to the concert. So you might want to take that decision back and just let things kind of, you know, like I said before, marinate. But she was very adamant on not, you know, on not wanting to go. She said, please find someone else to go with you or give away the tickets yourself. So I said, fine, click. And then around 6 p.m. later that day, she changes her mind.
Of course,
says, you know, I I don't know. You said that, I didn't. But she changed her mind, and she, you know, decided that she wanted to go.
Of course.
So because I didn't properly understand you know, I wasn't paying attention to. I guess I was taking her words too literally and not paying attention to the meaning behind the words, which I should have known at the time.
You made a huge husband mistake. Again, the number is 323-417-6705. I'd like some women to call in and defend your actions because it's a breed I just don't understand. It's a gender, a race. I don't even know what they are, a monkey culture. It's just – it's bizarre because you made the classic husband mistake, and that's what we're going to talk about for the first few minutes before Jen gets here. So please call. 323-417-6705. You made the classic husband mistake of listening to your wife and then trying to do what she asked to make her feel better. Because you're a rational and pragmatic human being,
and
that's
I was trying to accompany her needs and sort of just be there with her because the trip we were going to make to the concert was going to, you know, you have to find parking. There's going to be a large crowd, loud music. By the time she was done, and by the way, she was working on another job. She just found out about it, you know, that she was, you know, it didn't work out on another job. So she was working all day. It wasn't like she was home all day. So I figured
right.
by the time she comes home. She would have been exhausted.
And she told you to get rid of the ticket.
And she told me, and I even checked to make sure that still didn't solve the problem. And go ahead. I don't.
Okay, so she gets home.
Jake.
Again, the number.
Yeah.
Why aren't women calling? Because, you know what, I think I'm finally getting through to all our women listeners. They're starting to realize that they're irrational beings. Maybe that's why nobody's calling to yell at me. Can you check who that caller is?
Yeah, but I'm getting interviewed. Should I put myself on hold?
Yeah, just screen it real quick. I'll talk for
you. All right, hold on, Jake.
We might have a pissed off woman, which is that's like music to my ears. So I'll just catch you guys up. So basically, Eli gets rid of the tickets because his fucking wife asked him to, and he, being a nice person, is like, okay, I'll get rid of it. Then she comes home, wants to go to the concert, and then gets mad at him for getting rid of the tickets. This happens in every American household where there's a man and a woman.
Oh, Jake, it's just Jen. So she wanted to be on hold. She's on her way home, so she'll be home soon.
Oh, she's just listening? She doesn't want to talk?
Yes. No.
Okay. All right. What a shit show this is. So anyway, I caught him up. So your wife gets mad at you because the concert tickets are gone and then proceeds to sort of just now, typical woman step two. First, tell you what you want, what they want, then wait for the man to do it and then attack him for doing it. So she's on phase two of women arguing technique. So she then launches into you for getting rid of the tickets and then proceeds to treat you like crap, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of like, how can you do this? You always assume, why are you assuming that, you know, what I took too literally? How could you do that? You know, you knew I was in a crazy state of mind. How can you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know what else to do other than just kind of sit and just take it and let her vent. But then she kept on proceeding to come back to the area I was in and try to, like, get me all riled up, which she did a really good job of, by the way, because it did provoke a reaction, a And whenever I react in a way where I'm reacting emotionally, it sort of calms her down. And when I mean reacting emotionally, I mean like become angry, I guess, or enraged.
Yeah, a lot of women like that too. So this is phase three of the crazy female brain. If he does what I ask and he's kind and compassionate and caring and quiet, those of us men would go, oh, what a nice guy. He did the right thing. He sacrificed. He wanted to go to the concert. He sacrificed it. The woman brain interprets that totally different. What they hear is he's not listening to me and caring about my feelings. And because he's quiet and in charge of his emotions, that means he doesn't care. That's the female brain. So when you're quiet and taking a beating for doing a proper thing, and now they're in phase two of crazy female brain, they're interpreting that as you don't care. So now they start pushing you and fucking pushing you and driving their fucking thumb into your eye because now they've equated in their crazy female brain, you have to get mad. Because when you get mad at them, then you care. That's how they think. I'm just telling you. And this is why nobody's calling because I'm dead on. Truth Hammer, fucking Jake Pentland, female brain logic. So, and your wife's expressed this. She's told us when we've been on double dates, my wife, she said that she likes when you get angry at her. It makes her, it kind of turns her on, for one thing, which is totally, she needs therapy. And secondly, she feels like that means you care. Not the fact that you got rid of the tickets, like she asked, and wanted her to be calm and comfortable when she got home.
Right.
So anyway,
I told her, waiting for my mom to call. Just a curiosity, because I was very curious, because for me, you know, I didn't grow up with sisters or anything like that. I grew up in a very introverted family, whether it's female or male. It's the culture I was raised in. So
yeah,
emotions were like, people
awesome.
Were very unlimited. They're very limited on how they would express that emotion. So you have to try really hard to get that emotion out of me, and she really tries hard, you know what I mean?
So
but
she,
I asked
what did
her,
you do?
I said,
like,
I asked her, just for the sake of conversation and just because I was curious, I said, why is it that you have to approach the situation in a very combative tone versus having a discussion? Because I always felt like having a discussion, inquiring, asking, you know, seeking what it is that's disturbing her or bothering her would maybe make her feel better, not like a therapy session, just more of like, you know, talk things out. You know, let's talk about what's going on in your mind instead of, you know, you trying to be very mean-spirited and trying to get an emotional reaction out of me.
Totally,
and
man,
then,
brain,
you know,
thinking, Eli. That's another mistake.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, total. Because you were like, hey, here's problem A. Here's a rational response. Here's a pragmatic way to fix this. You're looking at it like an intelligent, rational person. You can't do that when you're in a relationship with a female.
It bothers them more. It really does. It's like when I even said that to her, it was almost like she was getting even more upset with me, even though I was just trying to seek a solution to
right, 'cause they
prevent
hear that
certain future like confrontations.
Right, but because what they're hearing is he's trying to negate my feelings. He's trying to be cold and calculated. He's not feeling what I'm feeling. He's in his head. He's a stupid man. Not realizing that you're doing the intelligent thing here, which is, hey, let's separate the way we feel because we're fucking irrational, crazy people. You're butt hurt because a client dropped you, and you're acting like an asshole and coming home and shitting your bloody vagina on everybody. So let's do this like an irrational, reasonable manner. They can't shift from the emotional center of their...
Ah!
Oh, my God, my wife's here. I'm in so much trouble. Oh, no.
What?
Hey, hold, my
what
wife just
here?
Walked in. Babe, I'm just trying to look tough on the radio show. You should leave. I'm so scared right now.
Oh.
Fuck it, I got to keep going. Don't look at me when I'm doing this. Get out of here. You're ruining my shit. Anyway, women are wonderful. So where was I before my wife cock-blocked me? So you're like, hey, let's figure this out in a rational and reasonable way.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that made her mad. Yeah, that's what makes women mad, because they think you don't care.
And then when I got angry, not angry, I should say, just more like after I conveyed how I felt emotionally, it was very overwhelming for me. So after I got that off, whatever I said off my chest, it's so funny, I don't even remember everything I said because I was like so much adrenaline was rushing through my veins. So when I finished, I separated myself and went into another room. And I just was sort of, you know, wanting private time. I just didn't, there was nothing for me to do to make things better. But I guess because I lost my cool, I guess that made things better. Because she constantly tried to apologize to me as if, like, just like this whole total 180. It just because I responded emotionally. And it confused me, not because I'm a dumb male, but it only confused me because it was such a drastic change. Okay, yes, I know it's like, it's probably hard for me to understand, but it was such a drastic change in such a short period of time due to my reaction.
Right. I didn't hear any of that. My wife just trying to pour moral on me.
All right.
Just
well,
kidding.
Anyways,
no, I'm sorry.
Anyways,
I'm sorry. Don't get
I'm just saying, the more I guess I was sort of like standoffish with her, the more and more she was like yearning for, I don't know, like the sweet person she's always been.
Well, did you explain that you got upset?
Yes.
Okay, I missed that part.
And she understood. It was like she turned into another. Like I always think of Large Marge from Pee Wee's Playhouse. I just do. Like when you know she's in the truck and you know that face she makes, the cartoon face, and it gets all. She loses control and then she's you know calm again. You know, asking where Pee Wee wants. You know, he still needs a ride or something. I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It was.
It's weird, right? Now, I did grow up with sisters and a mother, and I do understand women as much as humanly possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's like somebody saying they understand psychopaths, and they can talk mm-hmm. to psychopaths. Like, there's some people that are probably better at it. I'm one of those men that can do it, but it's still an impossible task to communicate with a female. But I can tell you from your wife's side, this is what she's thinking from the very start. I'm sad. I lost a client. And I want my husband to be there for me emotionally. And what they mean by that is I don't want him to offer solutions. I don't want him to go in his head and look at this like as a math problem. I just want him to let me vent and be there emotionally, just quietly rub my shoulders while I vent, rub my feet, just make sure I feel better, bring her a hot cup of tea. That's what you're supposed to do. And I can
okay.
tell you, in pretty good percentage, again, we're talking about women, which – I've equated a psychopath, which is an accurate analogy, I believe. Even if you do that, they're still going to find something wrong eventually, or there's no perfect solution on how to communicate with a woman. But you can lessen these kinds of crazy rantings by about 60 to 70% if you just let them sort of vent, and you don't say anything, and you don't offer a solution, and you just sort of rub their feet and go, oh, tell me about your day. That does quiet them down. Like I said,
I don't know.
You should try.
I don't know about that. I did. I have.
And when it doesn't work?
I mean, I it doesn't work. I listened. In this specific example, it didn't work. I don't know about it in general. But in this specific example, I was there to listen. I was sitting by her side, you know, rubbing her shoulders, you know, but she just would get up and walk out of the room.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
So it doesn't work on everyone, right?
No, nothing is 100% foolproof because you are talking about, you know, half of the population or 54% of the American population that is borderline psychopathic. So, yeah, there is no simple solution. I'm sorry. I'm glad you guys are getting along now, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
It's just
can't wait
till weathering the storm.
Sure. Sometimes that's all it really is. That's what marriage is. It's
yeah.
just weathering the bullshit. Fucking parade of a fucking living with a lunatic. We didn't get one female caller the whole time. Should I give the number out again? 323-417-6705. I think we're going to move on. I thought we'd get
okay.
so many mad people. I can't make people mad anymore, dude. We need a bigger audience so I can piss off new people. We're still a little bit out for Jen. So the topic of today's show, aside from how crazy women are, is, and we're going to get to a news story later about how crazy fat people are, specifically fat women. But right now I want to talk about this new exciting field called epigenetics. Is what I tweeted out we were going to talk about. Now, this is a theoretical science much like genetics or evolution or pretty much most of the sciences that my opponents, whenever I argue, that, hey, you probably shouldn't abuse your kid or treat your kid like shit because it'll make them a fuck-up loser. And then when they become a fuck-up loser, you shouldn't medicate them on drugs that don't work so that they go shoot up a bunch of high schools. Believe it or not, I have opponents, and a lot of them, that have clung to the theoretical sciences of genetics, regular genetics. And most people that are against me, most people are not against me, for the record. Most people are, you know, functioning, intelligent people. But there is a subgroup of moronic fucking idiot dipshits who I argue with all the time that really do believe that we have this genetic, quote-unquote, makeup that's predetermined. And for instance, if you're a fat hog in this life, it's not because you eat too much. It's because you're genetically predetermined to be a fat hog. If you drink too much, it's not because you drink too much, like you literally ingest too much alcohol. It's because you have genetics that predetermine you to be an alcoholic. And, yes, there are people that do believe in this. If you don't believe me, you can listen to any past show or follow any of my Twitter wars. These are my opponents, and they're fucking idiots, as I've mentioned. But there's this new field called epigenetics that was actually told to me by Katie, a good friend of our show. She is an actual doctor, a neuropsychologist, and a friend of mine. Most people would assume she's my opponent, but she's really not. Behind the scenes, she absolutely agrees with what a genius I am. And she's the one that turned me on to this. Now, for those of you who don't know, it's you can look it up on Google. It's EPI genetics. And it's very young, but there is something very fascinating and telling in this science, quote-unquote. What they have found, and again, this is all theoretical. I'm not saying that this is fact because I don't, you know, I'm not a fucking idiot. So just because something's published in a medical journal or a doctor says, hey, we found this rat does this, this is fact. That's what stupid people do. That's what my opponents do. And anyway, epigenetics, I think, is kind of the missing link, because what it's saying, Eli, basically, is that your nurture, your environment, the way in which you actually live your life and decisions you make can affect the way that your genes manifest. Does that make any sense to you? Because this is mind-blowing theoretical science.
No, it makes sense. I think makes total sense.
Well, I do too. I mean, this is basically the basis of all of my arguments. Whenever people have the fucking idiot, douchebag morons that argue against me, I've always claimed this. I've never said there wasn't some science behind
it. Now, does this relate to genetics through, like, behavior or physical, like it affects something, like your physical look, you know, due to, you might be obese, due to being obese, or, I don't know, depression,
this is what's,
behavioral problems?
It's a great question. This is what's mind-blowing about it. They have found, this is with rats, but two identical twin brother rats, identical twins. Hi, Jen. Welcome to the show. Two identical twin rats, Eli. One was white, and the other was brown. Basically blew the fucking minds of geneticists and doctors. They couldn't wrap their fucking head around that. They tested their genetics and their DNA, and they were, in fact, identical twins. However, one was brown and one was white, so they couldn't figure it out. Literally, mind's blown. Like anyone that listens to the Jake Pentland show and watches me argue with the collective fucking moron that's against me week in and week out, their minds were blown. So what they started to do is they started to sort of trace back and try and figure out why this happened. And some very exciting things have happened. For instance, it's a lot of the stuff that me and Jen talk about, but one example is rats that were raised with nurturing, loving maternal mothers that groomed them and licked them and whatnot, that had that environment in their life, they developed different genetic manifestations. They were able to deal with stress better in their DNA. I'm not talking about because they went to a mice therapist or a rat therapist, but they were able to separate the ones that had the colder, sort of a less loving mother. They were fucking retards and freaks and probably autistic mice and probably going to be medicated on ADD meds, much like how humanity works. And they have now really started to change the whole genetic argument to sound more like what I've been saying for two fucking years. So I'm really excited that Katie, a neuroscientist, turned me on to this to bring it to you guys. We're going to get more in-depth into it in another show. It is so deep and
fascinating. Can I ask a question?
Literally. Yeah, go ahead.
Is the are you saying this epigenetics, is environment solely responsible for one's genetic mutation as to how they end up? Is it solely responsible, or is there a combination of factors?
No.
Existing genetics with an additional environmental influence, I guess.
No, absolutely it's not the sole determining factor. There is no sole determining factor.
Okay.
In the same way that being predisposed, for example, to being a fat slob is not the sole determining factor of whether or not you'll grow indeed into a big fat slob.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be traumatized. You have to be educated improperly. You have to be a fucking loser to continue down that stench where you're 500 pounds. Hi, Jen.
So people can be genetically prone to gain more weight than maybe I would, for instance, the way I eat.
Right.
But you have to be traumatized to eat in a way that would make you gain so much weight.
Right, which is pretty much what me and Jen have been saying since the beginning of this fucking podcast. Here it is real quick, and then we'll move on to news. This is how it works, guys. We are born with genetic coding and DNA that is static, right? You have your brown eyes, I have a giant, perfect phallus. Whatever it is that you have genetically, everyone agrees with that. Everyone except for, of course, me and Jen, because we're super geniuses and saw way ahead of the curve. What happens is that's your DNA. There's also an RNA. And there's a bunch of proteins. I'm not going to get into this because I'm not a scientist and I'll sound stupid. But basically, in layman terms, your DNA is sort of like the spine and the outline of what you'll be. And the RNA sort of carries through proteins. It turns on certain genes and turns off other genes. And a lot of people don't know this. A lot of your DNA coding, some of it's just bullshit. It's like extra garbage that just is just there. It's passed down from generation to generation, and it's quote-unquote turned off. And the science of epigenetics is what they found is through environment and nurturing, it can actually change through a process called methylation the way what genes are quote-unquote turned off. It can turn them on. And that's why you had the two mice that were identical. One was brown, and the other was white. So it can actually affect, theoretically, yes, how you physically manifest, also how you psychologically manifest or physiologically manifest by environment. And it's pretty freakish because this even goes against Darwinian theory of evolution, where he always was like, survival of the fittest. Everyone believes this theory is true. I've argued against that because, again, I'm a huge fucking genius, not a fucking moron that argues against my genius. And Darwin's theory isn't entirely accurate either. There isn't just some magical mutation or the survival of the strongest because it wins out in a war. There is now this underlying current that you can literally change, even if it is just 1% or 2% passed on to your offspring. You can start changing physical manifestations on the body by the environment and way you live your life. So basically, there's two things that are freaky about this. One, you can change your fucking genetic coding by how you think, theoretically. And two, you now pass it on to generation and generation and generation. What really started this theory off was that there was a hunger strike after World War II, and these people were famished. Audrey Hepburn was born there. I can't remember, fucking Hungary or something. How funny would that be if it was Hungary where they're famished? And for generation after generation, once they got out of the famish, once they got into better places and were eating more, for the next three or four generations, they were having premature and smaller babies. That's what actually started epigenetics. So you literally, by your nurture, goddammit, why did that just sound so much alike? By the way you live your life, not only can you affect the way you manifest, but your children and grandchildren. So anyone that comes to me and Jen and argues when we say, hey, don't drink so much, you'll be a fucking loser drunk, or don't eat so much, you'll be a giant fat pig, and they start arguing genetics, if this indeed turns out true, it's because of their nurturing and their decisions they made as an adult that makes them predisposed to these things. So once again, Jen and I win. And I'm very excited to announce it. That's another win. Like we did with our gray matter, Jen, when we were talking about pedophilia.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
That's
when they were saying,
all
they have
pedophilias have this, less gray matter, where they said, so that proves it's genetic. They're born that way. They have less gray matter. And then we find out, coincidentally, I guess, that all abused people have less gray matter. So they have a potential to be an abuser. Not
so
that all
again,
abused people become abusers. Can we make that dead clear again, just so
I'm done making that clear. Anyone that's against me is a fucking idiot, and they should be murdered because they're so fucking stupid. They should not be having children either because they'll pass their epigenes on and make future generations of morons. But yeah, basically, long story short, the decisions you make as an adult, the lack of personal responsibility you take in your life, not only will affect you psychologically, it'll affect you physiologically and your children potentially and your generations. Therefore, you will literally be fucking having fat kids that are fucking predisposed to being obese because you're a fat slob. End of story. So once again, personal responsibility, the decisions you make in your life, trump any sort of genetics, any sort of bullshit science you want to tell me to research more or study more. At the end of the day, it comes down to decisions you make in your lifetime. So take some fucking responsibility for that. Thank you, everybody. All right. I'm very excited to win yet another one, especially in a scientific debate, Jen.
I know. Well, science helped prove us right, which has got to be really annoying for all the scientists. But I don't we're still going to get a lot of disagreements about it.
Of course. But that's their nature. Their parents and their parents' parents were fucking idiots, so it's not their fault.
Right.
They passed it on through epigenetics. That's how I'm going to justify it now, because I don't understand how anyone would argue against taking responsibility and making better decisions about your health. I don't see why anybody would argue that. And anyone that continually argues with you and I, it says more about them than anything. They are so afraid, this is my theory, they are so afraid to take personal responsibility for the fucking loser they've turned into, that they are looking for any excuse, and everybody does this on some level, but they are looking for any excuse to not have to take responsibility for the fact that they're a big loser. And that doesn't help anybody. If everybody looked at themselves and said, hey, I'm a giant fucking loser because I do this, and then changed it, the entire world would be better tomorrow. So why don't you all do
that? And when you say loser, you don't mean like,
They're making bad decisions. I think that's what it is. You lose people when you say you're a loser. And
I don't give a fuck. I don't care about losing people.
Well, you know what? They're making bad choices. If we're just talking about overeating, they're a good person making bad choices. If they're a molester, they're a bad person. That's different.
I see what you guys are saying. I've been having beer, so maybe I'm not going to. I don't give a fuck what you do. Like, I've always said this a million times. I don't care if you're a giant fat person. I don't care. I think I've proven that I'm non-judgmental and that I love people as long as they are nice and as long as they, you know, have a good sense of humor and they get along. I don't give a fuck what you look like. I'm not that guy. Don't lump me in with that guy. I'm not a fucking high school jock. Look at me. I'm fat. I have fucking moobs and I'm bald. I'm not going to be the guy that gets up here and says, you need to fit a certain physical criteria to get my respect. I would never do that. What I can't take is people, instead of going, what can I do to make myself feel better, they then start launching attacks at anyone that says, hey, why don't you make a different decision? Like, for instance, how's this for a segue, guys? There was that mom on Facebook that, worked out. She's like this hot-ass Filipino mom, and she took a picture in front of her three kids, and she's like, what's your excuse? Basically, because a lot of women, after they have kids, they're all, you know, they're fat, and they're sitting around eating bonbons and watching Maury.
Oh, my gosh, Jake.
And they're, you know, and this woman's like, what's your excuse? You can have a baby and then take the weight off. So she put this on Facebook and, of course, got a similar attack that I get. She got this entire litany and mob of angry torch-bearing fat people that were really mad at her said she bullied them. There's that word again. And we dealt with it a little bit on Twitter. And all she was saying is, look, you can work out. You can make these decisions. The problem I have with people is they'll look at someone like that and go, this bitch is bullying me. This bitch is ruining my life. And they attack her instead of going, yeah, you know what? She's got a point. And then at the end of that, if you want to go, but I'm okay with being overweight, I don't need to lose weight. I'm happy with who I am. Then you'll be in the cult. Then I'll love you unconditionally. Everyone will get along. But don't sit here and launch attacks on everybody that just points out the fact that you can make a better decision in your life. That is what I can't stand. That is the absence of personal responsibility. That's the thing I cannot fucking take anymore. I don't care what you look like or what you do. Just at least admit for a second that you're upset or you're reacting emotionally. that you're going to attack this woman or me because you don't like what you're hearing. Just take responsibility for that. Start there. Anyway,
well,
and
I posted
that?
A link for anyone that wants to see the picture, actually, that
she's
really
hot,
caused
dude.
She is hot, but it said, what was her quote on it that she said, Eli? Do you remember?
Yeah, she said, "I'm sorry you took an image and resonated with it in such a negative way. I won't go
into
details."
She said, "What's your excuse? What's your excuse?"
Right.
And
why did that make people mad?
And she's getting accused of fat shaming because of it, is what it
right.
is. Like, she has 3 kids, and they're under 3, and she's taking this sexy picture straddling.
Yeah, I have more of a
problem
with that.
The picture itself was interesting. And honestly, my very first reaction, and I'm not fit, but I'm not fat. Like, I'm not toned, but I'm not fat. Like, I don't have an issue with my body that bothers me. But my first instinct when I looked at her was, maybe you should spend more time with your children instead of working out, which was it was just a judgmental, I think, bitchy thought to have. But that was that was most of her attacks was, you know, you're not a good parent because she works out. So I read her story after judging her hot picture and thought, well, she works out an hour a day, 5 to 6 days a week. That's probably making her a better mom. Even though I think she's obsessed with her body, you know, I think that's a little, that's a problem. You know, either way, whether you're obsessed in a bad way or a good way, it's a problem if your focus is there. But honestly, she's being healthy. So people judging her for being healthy and not being happy with who they are, it just doesn't
it's trolling.
Seem.
No, they're
yeah.
trolling.
Yeah, I mean, but there, people are, you know, like Brody and a few other, I had a few other comments of, oh, you know, it doesn't feel so good when it's at the skinny people. And I'm saying, but they are making a healthy choice. That's the difference. Like someone, and I don't like to say fatty 2x4 to people, but I will say, well, don't complain to me about your stress fracture in your foot, you know, if you're 300 pounds. Like, I know how you can fix that, and it's not putting your foot up. It's eating right and exercising, you know, or your bad back. I get sick of hearing that shit. So that's the kind of, you know, harassing, I guess, that I might do is, like, eat right. Shut up.
Well, you put on a really good point. Because you said your first reaction to that picture was she should spend more time with her kid. You had a negative reaction. Now, here's where Jen is the co-host and my one of my best friends in the whole world and why I'm attacking a lot of other people is Jen thought, that's kind of a judgmental, bitchy thing of me to say. And then you looked at your behavior. Why would I have that kind of response? This is just a woman saying this. And maybe I should find out if she does indeed neglect her kids before I say that. So then you take step 2. If you actually start researching what kind of lifestyle she has, you find out it's an hour a day. Well, there's nothing wrong with taking an hour a day to yourself when you're a parent. In fact, if you don't do that, you should fucking kill yourself right now because you're smothering your children. Take some time to yourself if you can. She's married. She's not a single mom. She's got a man that stays at home because he had a brain injury, and he's able to watch the kid for the hour. And you then change your opinion of her. Because you, A, took responsibility for your emotional reaction. Then you did the research.
Well, and I judge people by what they do, you know. And like you, I mean, I don't know if you're being honest or not because I don't buy it. But I don't judge people as much by what they look because some of my best friends are overweight. Actually, almost all of them are. You know, it's I don't know what the reasoning of that is, but it just works out that way.
Because no one helped you with your friend.
Yeah, it's more of I have friends that will be like, I'm fat because I like food. And then there's the friends that are like, oh, it's my DNA, it's this. And I'm thinking, you know what, I'm just more worried that you're going to have a heart attack and get diabetes and leave your kids alone. I want you
right.
to eat right. You know, it's not about me hating how they look. It's not about me being disgusted with them. It's about eat right. And if you eat right and you're still a little chunky, I don't care. I like chunkiness. My favorite part of having babies was getting some meat on my bony bones.
Right. I prefer a woman with a little meat on her bones, physically.
Yeah.
Most guys do. It's not saying, like, you have to look like this woman. She's a fitness model, and she was a former pageant queen. Nobody's saying you have to look like her. In fact, she didn't come
yeah.
out and say, you have to look like me. She's like, look, you can find – what's your excuse?
She's
you
trying
can
to
find
motivate
an hour
people,
a day.
Actually.
What's that?
She was trying to motivate people. Like you said,
yeah.
like, if I can do it, so can you. Because she works, has, like, some entrepreneur-type businesses, and she has 3 young children. So
right.
she's saying, if I can find time to do it, even if it's 10 at night, she will work out.
And
which I
where,
think is obsessive in a weird way, but at least it's
but
a healthy obsession.
Say, for the record, she didn't say, you can look like this. You have to have the six-pack abs.
Right.
You have to. She just said, you can find time to be more healthy. She never put a limit on what the preference was. Nowhere I saw it. In fact, I saw her interview, and she's like, no, I'm just saying that you can find 30 minutes to an hour a day to do some exercising. And that's absolutely right. So this, she got a litany of I don't want to say abuse, but she certainly kicked a beehive and got a lot of shit for it, tremendous amount of shit for that. And that's the, again, it always seems like we're attacking fat people. It's the thing is, it's not about fat people. It's about people that are pussies and can't take responsibility. Those are the kind of people that attack somebody simply saying, hey, you can find an hour to work out. That's just a meaningless, harmless statement. That doesn't, for the way that
it's
the reaction
don't
she
make
got
excuses.
Shows it.
It's saying don't make excuses as well, you know, like take responsibility. It is adding a little bit of shame, but not like you're ugly.
Why?
Not you're ugly, you're fat. It's saying don't give me an excuse, you can work out.
Yeah, and why is that such a bad thing to say? Same as don't drink so much, don't take antidepressants, take responsibility, the message I give every week. Why does that upset people so much?
Because it's their own personal space, I think, we're invading on. But your sister's on hold and wants to talk.
Oh, cool. I love Jenny, but I got to call first. Oh, gosh.
Jenny, okay.
No, you can see the hold time. See, she's been on hold a lot longer. Gosh,
yeah,
girl,
well,
you're on the
Jenny's first because she's first in my heart. Okay, go.
Aw, so sweet. No, I like to do it in order if I can. Jenny, hold on. I'll hang up on Gosh soon enough. All right, you're on the air.
Hello?
Okay, that took care. Oh, hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, can I help you?
Hi. It's Scotia Girl.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Hi, Jen.
I'm good.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm phoning because we should clear this matter up, like, you know, now, about the things that I talked to you about and stuff. And, you know, all this stuff about bullying and, you know, the cult's not trying to bully people. They're, if you get along with them and everything, you know, they're not going to bully you. The fact of the matter is if you fucking agree with them, they're not going to bully you. If you have a difference of opinion than them, don't tell me that they don't all jump in and attack you. It happened to me three fucking times.
Hold on.
Let me speak for something.
No, but you're calling out of order because I want to finish what I was talking about, and then I'm going to ask you to hold, and I'm going to talk to Jen about my sister about the topic of the show, and
okay,
then I'll come
I'll
back
hold,
to you. We'll
I'll
finish
hold.
With you. Okay.
No, and I want to hear what you have to say too, so we'll get back to it. Promise.
I try and save cult drama till the end of the show if I can, because that's not for everybody. Obviously, that's the inside family. So Jenny, I doubt you're calling about the cult drama. Yes.
No, I am not.
Okay, so let's stick to the topics. How are you?
Yeah. I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. My beer's
good. Jake and I drink, like, we drink all the time now, and we're trying to figure out why.
Because you have to be around each other. That's a good number.
I guess so.
What's up?
Nothing. I think I saw this whole story on, I guess it was your Twitter feed or whatever, and, like, at first I kind of was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of... I don't know, I just thought it was smarmy, if anything. But then I read her backstory, and, you know, a lot of stuff it's always set up so that, you know, the title or the headline makes you angry so that you'll read into it deeper. And then once I see her story, I'm like, that poor woman, I feel really bad for her that she, like, you know, tried to better herself and then used just a typical generic internet meme like, what's your excuse, which is all over the place. She didn't make that up. And, you know, it's kind of a... it's just a meme that has to do with that. So I don't know. I feel bad for her that she's getting bullied over it. And like you said, she kicked a wasp's nest. And, you know, the only reason wasps sting you is because they're defending their honey and their nest and their young and stuff. And if, you know, the people who are getting upset, I heard what she said and I didn't get mad because I'm fat and I don't hate myself for it.
See?
It's like, it's not a big issue to me. I'm okay with, like, you have a finite amount of energy and you get to pick and choose with your free will, that's your birthright, what you do with that energy. And I choose to do other things that are, you know, creativity to me keeps me sane. So that's above and beyond for me. That's like more of a priority for me than exercising, because that's the thing that keeps me sane and from going insane.
Right.
And so, you know,
it's
you get to pick and choose where you put your energy. Yeah. It's not my priority, so it didn't make me mad, and that's the thing. If you're secretly angry or don't like yourself or something, then when you hear something contrary to it, your first instinct is to be defensive and angry. And, like, I feel like the women who are saying abusive, mean stuff to her while they're accusing her of being abusive and mean for just, you know, bragging about the hard work that she does. I feel bad for her, and I feel bad for anybody who gets caught up in the, I don't want to say fat girl nets, but it's kind of like, you know, I was that angry fat girl for a long time until I realized that I was angry because of my own shit and, you know, took responsibility for it.
Thank you.
And I don't know. I kind of agree with you this one time. I agree with you. It's only genius because I'm agreeing with you this one time.
Well, you're getting smarter, and I'm very happy. You must be listening to this show week in and week out. It makes me so happy.
Uh-huh, exactly.
I thought you called it, like, oh, God, Jenny's going to shamu me.
No, I think anytime anybody gets upset, and even, like, on Twitter, when people say mean stuff to me, it's like now I kind of just, I laugh at it because it's funny because I don't hate myself anymore. But when I hated myself, it was really hurtful because it, like, you know, it's hitting you where you got a lot of issues, and unless you're ready to deal with those issues and take personal, like me and Brandy's radio show is all about personal responsibility, because I think that's the reason for every bad thing on the planet is that people want everybody else to take care of their emotional needs instead of taking care of their own, and it's nobody else's place. It's take care of your own goddamn emotional needs. It's stop being a big fucking crybaby and either be fat and happy or don't.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. That was brilliant. I'm so happy. I just want to dance.
Jake sure loves when I agree with him. He sure. I don't think you should dance because there was like some kind of fault line thing in South America.
Actually, we do have water damage in this house, and I am sitting on like a fucking wet floor, with wet carpet.
Why?
Ew.
Because this house is a.
Why is there water damage?
The roof has holes in it, and cats that live up
Jake,
there.
Jake
so.
Sits on the roof too much and caping.
Jake is turning into the hoarder, cat lady hoarder. Jake's totally
I know, he's cat lady.
He told me he got like some like repurposed bicycle he wants to hang on the wall, and I'm thinking, what the hell?
Okay, enough of the
Little Edie. You're Little Edie. You're Little Edie.
I'm feeling attacked.
E-A-T-I-E.
You guys are bullying me.
E-A-T-I-E. You're Little Edie. All right, I love you.
Love you, Jenny. Thank you for
finally agreeing with me.
You're doing great. Your Cult of Jake progress card is now a gold member, and you've moved up. Like, I do it like Scientology.
You.
Like, the smarter you get and the more responsibility you take for yourself, the more T-shirts and gold cards you get of the Jake Pentland memorabilia. So
free.
you get a free T-shirt.
What do I get? What do you get with my gold card?
You get to be emotionally healthy. All right, I'm going to hang up. Now I'm going to go deal with this woman who hates the cult. All right,
bye, Jen.
I love you.
I want to put me on hold.
Hold on. Sorry. It's delayed.
She
what
just
we
said
say?
put her on hold, so she doesn't want you to hang up on her.
Okay.
I want to hear her.
Okay. Yeah, she seems very upset.
She wants to hear the cult drama. She just doesn't want to.
Yep, I do.
I love the cult drama. I'm pretty excited about it. Okay, we're going to move on. Okay, so there's 13 minutes left in the show. This is the part of the show where it does get a little insulated. A lot of people that are anti, or not say anti, sorry, I've been drinking. A lot of people that aren't in the cult sometimes tune out here, but there's a lot of life lessons that can happen in the cult, and that's really what the cult is about. It's a bunch of lunatics ran by a supreme lunatic, and we deal with issues one at a time, and I'm really excited for this, so I'm going to take this call. I do have to pee.
Get her at also. Find out her Twitter handle so people can...
Gusha Girl. It's Gotcha.
But how do
he
you
wrote Gosha.
It?
It's Scotia. Scotia. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Scotia.
Scotia. Yeah.
But her name.
She was
Brenda.
My troll for a few days. Yeah, Brenda.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah,
I got
to
pee.
I finally get to talk to her, though. I like that.
Okay. You two talk. I'm just going to drag the phone on the balcony and urinate for a second.
Okay.
The beer's going through me. So, what were you saying about the cult now?
It's Scotia Girl, Nova Scotia.
Nova
like
Scotia.
Like Nova, yeah.
Okay.
I have to get on my knees to pee. People can see my wiener. This balcony's not very big.
Okay, are you peeing off the balcony? That's so gross.
No,
sorry,
I'm sitting on my knees with my pajamas around my ankles peeing on the deck of the balcony.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong with you?
I have to pee, and I'm a good radio host. I don't leave.
Okay.
So what's up?
All right, so they want you to name names, too. Like, just call it all out. If people are being bitches and you think they're being bitches, say it.
Am I on?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
This is a live show.
But this is long distance, and I'm calling in, and I'm sitting here for, like, 20 minutes. So
no, get over it.
Am I speaking now or am I not speaking now?
Yes,
you're
on air right now.
Perfect. Okay. It has nothing. Shut up. I'm trying to talk. It has
he's
nothing
peeing
to do. It has nothing to do with hating the cult. It has nothing to do with that. It has the fact that it's the fact that you guys don't practice what you preach. You say, oh, yeah, you know, the cult is just trying to help people and all that kind of stuff. It's a big bunch of shit. I mean, I lived it firsthand. You guys are the biggest bunch. And Jen, I'm not even including you because the other night you were one of the only ones that treated me with respect, so it has nothing to do with you. They attacked me like your sister said, like a fucking bees to honey. And for something that I didn't even do. So you tell me how that is helping. Like, I'd really like to hear your opinion on it. How does that actually frigging help somebody to come on a Twitter feed for something they didn't even do and attack them like that, whether they're an adult or child or who the hell they are? Tell me how that benefits anybody. Really, how does that benefit anybody to be attacked like that? I'd like to hear your opinion on that. Really, I would. Are you done peeing now so you could...
Yeah, I'm done peeing.
Well, it's honestly... Let me say something, too. It's honestly... I don't know how long you've been on Twitter, but I think mine's been about 4 years, maybe, and it's taken me until just this year for things that people say on there to not really get to me. Unless it's someone that I consider a friend that I've made on there, it really doesn't get to me the way it did. So part of it is toughening you up. It's cyber bullying, I guess, but it's a way to kind of make you desensitized and for you to say, I am an asshole. Like, I will totally say I'm an asshole.
Personal responsibility.
Yeah, I can be an asshole, but I love people. Like, I purposefully will not hurt anybody. But if I say, oh, you sound like a drug addict, it's because you're talking about how much you want drugs, and I'm going to fuck with you. And I don't mean it in a mean way, but that's how I interact with my husband. It's how I interact with my friends, and it's just...
Okay, so let me throw this
to not be able to take it. Like, Twitter literally helped me be able to handle it a little better because I was... super sensitive, and I think you're super sensitive. I think there's quite a few people that are super sensitive, and it's a good quality to have, but it also can make you vulnerable.
So let me throw this at you then. So somebody who is cyberbullied and commits suicide, okay, and there's been a lot of that lately, right?
I have a story about that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll answer that.
Well, so those people suicide, that mm-hmm. no, really, that you guys get on the air and you say, that's terrible. That's terrible what those people did to her. You know, like,
I never said that.
She felt that bad. No, but you've talked about people that have committed suicide from being...
Well, I feel bad for someone that would commit suicide, but I don't
equate
it first of all.
But your cult does the same. Your cult, not everybody, but some people in your cult do the same thing. The same exact thing, but maybe for a different reason, because they justify to themselves, oh, well, you know, we're trying to toughen this person up, you know, so we're going to just go on there and just go nuts on her, hoping that she's going to come around and be a tougher person. But you guys, the thing that you don't understand, Jake, is that you're not around later for the aftermath of what you start.
All right,
let me answer.
So
should these people be on social media if they can't handle the little bits of cyberbullying? And I'm not talking about posting naked pictures or whatever those, you know, what's happened to some teens that can really traumatize your entire social life. But if you're choosing to interact with people that are going to fuck with you a little bit, which is Twitter. I mean, it's 1,000,000% Twitter. There's comedy, there's politics, and there's let's fuck with people. If you're going to choose to go there, you have to be able to handle it. And I can get called 1,000,000 things. I've been called a pedophile. I have 3 young kids, and to be called a pedophile is pretty fucking harsh. But I've been called that, and I can laugh it off. And, you know, I will either block that person or never interact with that person. Or that's kind of what I recommend. If you can't handle it, to not deal with that person in particular. Maybe not a whole group of people, but Jake and I get
so much shit.
If you only knew how much shit it's like what you get in that one night, probably almost every day.
Yeah, I think I probably get it more than
anybody. But that's because you're on a radio show and all that different thing. That's why you get more than me. That's like only natural. But I'm just talking about the regular person. Like, I'm just saying, Jake, you say that, you know, people shouldn't be on antidepressants and all that stuff, and that's great. So what if this person that you say shouldn't be on antidepressants, and then all of a sudden they stop doing these antidepressants, you know, because they listen to you, and maybe they, at
God,
the time,
I wish.
They think that what you're saying is right.
That'd be awesome.
No, but listen, and so that, okay, so that 1 or 2 or 3 people out of that whole bunch do that, And then something happens, like that affects their family, it affects them, but you're not around. All I'm saying is you're not around for the aftermath that the other people have to deal with from what you started. That's, can't
right,
you
let
even
me,
like, at least say that?
I just okay. don't, I don't
Hold
feel
on.
That powerful.
Can I talk on my own show, everybody?
No, because really it's annoying when you do.
No, but let me just explain. Okay, first of all, the cult, the basis of the cult is that we adhere to the strictest, most, I don't even know, I need your help with words, Jen. Basically, it's like a monkey culture. We're jungle culture. There is no pretense. There is no bullshit socialization. What we feel, that's how we react. We are very much in our monkey brains all the time. And I am someone who loves the monkey brain. I sat through so many fucking drum circles with hippies and Kabbalah priests that were talking about evolution. And one day, I started noticing that all these people were talking about evolution and a better world. Were so full of shit, they couldn't even describe what they wanted. They would just talk in these bullshit terms, and it hit me one day that really the monkey brain is a beautiful place to be because it's so honest. It's like how talking to a child is better than talking to an adult because they're not bullshitting. If they don't like you, they tell you don't like you. And I learned to grow and appreciate the monkey brain. And that's what the cult is. So, for instance, Brenda, when you go into a social situation on Twitter and you show blood in the water or weakness, you get attacked. That's the law of the jungle. If you cut your fucking wrist and you went in the ocean, a shark would eat you. That's how the world really, really works. And that's what we do at the cult, and that's what we do on Twitter, and why I consider it socializing. We don't give a shit about your idealist, your ideals and what a better world would be one day. I don't give a shit. I'm doing the jack-off motion right here under the phone, just so you know. I care about the fact that if you're going to go and put yourself in a situation where you're going to socialize with other people, that you learn to not show weakness because you will get eaten alive. That is something that will benefit you not just in your professional life, and it will, believe me, but your personal life as well. So you should really look at the situation as a learning experience and take it a little bit, you know, you should be happy. You should be happy these people are fucking trying to eat you and bully you and push you in the corner because it's giving you this tremendous opportunity to shut it off and learn to deal with it in a safe fucking place like Twitter. If this happened to you in the real world, if you and I were friends and hanging out and I saw people push you in a bathroom and punch you, that'd be very, very different. I'd be a lot more protective, which is what you're asking me to do. But this is fucking Twitter, for fuck's sake. This is a chat room, for fuck's sake. If you can't handle it here, you're in trouble.
Well, then if it's fucking Twitter, I know, but then if it's fucking Twitter, for fuck's sake, then stop telling people that what they should do with their lives when you don't even know them. That's
well,
right.
That's what people do. People give advice. We're a social animal. We're communicating on Twitter. People give me advice all the time. Tell me what to do with their life, with my life. That's just what happens when you have conversations with random people. What is the point?
So actually, what I
and
think
I think
is,
when. Oh, go ahead.
Is not follow the cult of Jake then. Like, not, I mean, not, what I should do is not talk to you, like, not talk to you on Twitter anymore. I'm not being an asshole by saying that, but I'm saying, but my
Here's
own
what
safety,
you
right?
Do.
What you're saying
you,
is I should just cut you all off and say
no.
The fuck with you, and that would be the tough way and good way to do it, right?
No, no. The good
no,
way would be
or,
to
go
let
ahead.
It skip off you, to not let it mm-hmm. bother you, to not let it get you this upset to where, if you want to be really honest, you're fucking DMing me for 3 days about what a horrible person I am that I didn't come to your defense, and I still don't even know what happened. I told you I don't even know what you're talking about. It probably didn't even happen on Twitter. It probably happened in a chat room I don't go to. But you basically accused me of stirring the pot and then leaving you to die. That's not the proper response. You should have just fucking brushed it off and toughened up, and it would help you. I told you this the first time I talked to you. And you did. You have come a long way. I will be honest with you. You were a fucking complete lunatic when we first met, and now you're able to call in and yell at me. I consider that progress. And I'm actually happy to see it.
Okay. Well, I'm
so
done.
So you shouldn't
anyway.
Leave.
Thanks.
You shouldn't go away. You should just let it fucking bounce off you. You should let it flow off you. Like,
you know what?
Off a
think,
duck's back.
Think, wait. Before you go, Brenda, the one thing I want to
either.
Say is, shut up. The meanest people to me in my entire life, and I mean mean as in assholes picked on me, were my siblings. You know, they were the ones that loved me the most and bugged me the most. And I think that's the type of relationship that happens in the cult, even though it's adult. We're not all 6 and 7 years old, so we're not just pinching and, you know, scratching each other. So it's the same difference to me. That's how I take it when Marvin or Brody gets upset with me and calls me whore. You know, I don't feel like a whore. They know I'm not a whore. I've been married for 12 years with the same man for 14 years. I'm not a whore. But they're saying it to just say, you little brat, you know, like, I don't. You just have to learn how to interpret what people, if their sincerity is good. And if you don't think they're good people, don't alienate an entire group of people. There's going to be some people in there that are truly out to hurt you, because that's just how this horrible world works. But like my husband said, who's a police officer, that most people are good. You know, he encounters the worst of the worst and the best of the best, and he's figured out that most people are good. And then, you know, you just take it as is, and if someone's really trying to hurt you, then just don't interact with them. But I'm not trying to hurt you. Jake's not trying to hurt you. But if Jake calls me a retard, it's because I did something not intelligent. He doesn't mean I'm Down syndrome. You know, so I don't take it that way. If he calls me a cunt, it's because I'm being shitty to him. And it's, to me, it's just an adult sibling type relationship.
But you can't compare, though, your and Jake relationship to me, because you guys know each other personally and you're best friends, and you, and like, I mean, if my best friend said to me, you're being really cunty tonight, you know, then I would say, okay, that's cool, you know, like, that's like, I could take that because the person knows me, Jake, you don't know me.
Right.
You know me from Twitter, but you don't know me.
No, you
but you've seen how Jake does interact with everyone, which is like a fake asshole. Like, he is probably one of, just so you know, probably one of the nicest people I've met, but he's also the biggest asshole. Like, you know, like, and that's how I am too, and that's how so many people on Twitter are, and your asshole comes out more on Twitter. But it's, I mean, like I said, it's more of a sibling type relationship, and I'm not saying just Jake and I. I'm talking about everyone I interact with. Kathy, everyone, they can call me names. I can say, why are you being such an asshole? And it's, because we've learned that it doesn't mean I hate you. It just means, what's up?
But, Jen, you know what? You have to admit, though, I know that you tell the truth. So I know that you could admit at least that the other night when I did get attacked, you did feel bad because you did reach out.
Of course. Well,
I know for a bit there you did think that it was really overdone.
No, you know what it is I don't want you to think I'm coming from that angle. So, yeah, when I saw you getting really upset, I don't want someone to get truly upset. So I think it's a good place to say it right there. If it's really happening on social media, then just say, you guys are being fucked up. And I'm like, oh, we don't mean it that way. You know, and I think most people would say that. And the ones that don't care and the ones that will continue to attack, those are the ones you don't interact with then.
You're right. I'm not going to interact with them anymore because it was crazy. It was just all I'm saying is, you know what? I'm not like mad at you guys or anything. I'm just saying that what happened the other night was really fucked up, and it really hurt. Like, I mean, you know, maybe it is twitching.
What actually happened?
What happened was, all I did was I was tweeting to Xander just because I was saying that I wanted to start a podcast, and I don't really know how to do it, you know, how to do it and everything. I wanted to try it. So he said that he would, if I needed any advice or anything on how to get started, that he would help me out. So I was DMing him, and all of a sudden the stuff didn't show up. So what I did was I said to him, is all the things that I'm DMing you showing up? Because I'm not seeing it, like, on my Twitter page, on my DM page. And then it all started. It was like the shit hit the fucking fan, and the place went nuts. And the reason why it went nuts is, I'm serious, I have to be honest, that's what happened. I didn't even know what was going on. It's because
Xander's a cult trigger.
Panda, or whoever the hell she is, Jamie, thought that I told Xander that she put a picture up. Like, how fucking immature, like, how childish is that? Like, I didn't even know about any picture, have no idea what the hell she's talking about. And
well,
even
let me
said,
ask you this. Hold on, Brenna. Why would, if what she's saying isn't true, then why does it upset you so much?
Because, you know why? Because it upsets me so much because I fucking hate somebody telling me that I did something that I didn't do, and won't even give me the chance to explain it. Just goes right off the deep end. At least I would say to somebody, okay, like, why are you saying that? Like, why, you know, she went nuts. She was like a friggin' vampire sucking your blood out.
So
she's,
you felt
mental. You know what?
You
and
felt
if she's
like
listening,
you weren't,
no, but
what?
If she's listening, she's
being
fucking mental.
To? We're all mental. That goes without saying. Would you feel like you weren't being listened to? Is that what bothered? What, like,
exactly.
What actually upset you? Okay, so you weren't listened to, and then you weren't heard.
Well, I didn't get a chance, like, to even, when you throw an accusation at somebody, at least, you know what, and that's why what I like about you, Jake, is at least you give somebody a chance to say, you say to them, okay, like, what about what I said you don't like? Or what about what I said is not true, right? That you can give me that part.
That's what I do. That's my genius.
She went
nuts. That's what I'm
doing right now. I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Forget Jamie for a second. Why does, what is it about you that the being ignored or not heard triggers you to be so angry? Because a lot of people would go, oh, this fucking crazy bitch is crazy, and then move on. But you took it very personal and very deep, which would tell me.
Okay, what
if
do you want?
Something?
You want me to tell you, like, cry and stuff? Yeah. When I was young, I was bullied, like, fucking mad.
Right.
For 3 years straight, beat up every fucking day off the bus.
Right.
And I never got the chance to say what I wanted to say. Like, that I didn't do anything wrong. And then when that happened, it was like everything just went back to that day, and it hurt.
Of course it hurt. So you obviously are very sensitive. And not in the bad way, in the good way. You're very, very keenly sensitive to not being heard. And when you're not heard or somebody even says something on something as innocent as Twitter, you go back to that place when you were bullied. That's where you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is why – okay, so let's stay here for a second. This is why it's important to piss people off on Twitter. This is why I love the fucking cult, because we're here now, you and I. How bad did the bullying get?
It got bad. It was bad. You mean in my childhood?
Yeah.
Or the other night?
No, in your childhood. The other night, it's just.
It was really bad. It was
really
bad.
And how did you get out of it?
We moved.
Did it get better when you moved?
Yeah.
You got older?
There wasn't cyberbullying or anything, so nothing really followed me. So once I moved, it was over.
So now you're welcome to the wonderful world of cyberbullying. That was
beautiful. That's what I'm saying. Now all the things I felt from then,
right.
It was like it just all flooded back. And it actually, I tell the truth, it wasn't even the fact that it was Jamie. It could have been anybody.
Exactly.
It just sent me back to that place of horror and fear and.
Okay. This is good. Because this is what it's all about. It's triggering something you haven't dealt with. And this is your body's way. The way you reacted to Jamie on Twitter is your subconscious trying to talk to you, not to any of us, and trying to tell you, hey, you haven't completely dealt with this situation. This is still bothering us deep down. And when these things happen, somebody doesn't listen, you feel attacked, you go back to that place. You haven't moved on past it. So there's probably a million different things that happen in your life that trigger that. And what your mistake you're making, objectively, you're focusing way too much on what's happening today, and you're not equating it back to that place where you go in your head when you were a kid.
But who wants to go back to that place? It's too pain. It hurts too much.
Because you're not done with it.
Yeah, here's the thing. It hurts too much to go there, sure. I'm sure that's terrifying, but look what happens when you ignore it. Now, you can't even have an interaction on social media without going back there and being upset. So it may hurt to face it. Of course it does. But I guarantee you it hurts a lot more to bury it. Because it'll start showing up in all areas of your life. And that's what happens. That's why you're upset. And it's not just on Twitter. I imagine you're probably upset in a lot of places in life. You need to go back there. It's imperative. Your mind is begging you to go back there and let it go and deal with it and talk about it and vent about it and move on and not be attached and cling to the pain because it's affecting your adult life. So, do you talk to anyone about it? Do you see anybody?
No.
Would you be willing to? Because I'm just a fucking douchebag podcaster. You should probably...
Yeah, don't let Jake be your therapist. Like,
yeah, don't.
Real.
I wouldn't.
No, but really,
you know,
I would...
He would practice by, like, punching you and be like, see, now stick up to me. Like, he would be horrible. Like,
no, that's
but
not
he
true.
Has a good heart. I'm
we
just
would,
kidding.
We would probably... If I was your therapist, we wouldn't be doing this on the air, being... private, and we'd probably both be crying a lot. And I think that's really important that you do that. And I don't think you should be upset at the cult or the world or the way it works. You should really focus on your emotional reaction to things. Like when Jen was talking and my sister was talking about that fitness mom, the reason all these news stories and things I talk about in the show, they might seem like a potpourri, but they link up, is that there's always the truth behind it, which is I was using that story to show Jen's point of how she had an emotional reaction to this woman that was working out, and she got upset, and then she went back and retraced her footsteps. So many of us, in fact, fuck it, all of us, every human being that walks the earth today has emotional reactions every second, good and bad, going back to places of being bullied as a kid or whatever it is, and we're attached to this past, and we don't even know we're doing it. So then we find ourselves being upset or mad at somebody who works out, and then we're attacking them on Facebook, and we have all these weird reactions that if you were smart, if people were smart and took responsibility, we'd look at that reaction and go, whoa, why am I reacting this way? And then it didn't take you long at all to go back to what's bothering you. When I asked
I know
you, when
why.
I cornered you
but
and
I know
asked
why I wrote those things. I know why I wrote those things to you. It's because, and I know I'm not a stupid person, I know why. I wrote them because when I was back, when I went back to that place that Jamie took me back to, nobody defended me then. And
right.
I was angry at you because you didn't either.
Right.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, you see.
And I've been there too with Jake. I swear it's not to a degree as you, because I quickly turned into.
Jen's was way worse.
Yeah, I quickly turned. Well, I'm saying I reacted way worse, but I quickly turned into a bully as a kid once I got any bullying, because I was trained by my dad who bullied me, and I was able to stand up to people even being the smallest person there.
No, but
and
hold on. Stick the point.
Jake,
you
one time in a fight on Twitter, he didn't stick up for me, and I freaked out on him. It's probably I don't cry, Brenda, and it's not like I judge people that do. I for some reason, I think I'm scared I'll cry for 6 years if I start crying ever.
Yeah.
So it's the one time over like the last 2 years that I cried was because Jake didn't stick up for me, and then I had to sit there and think, like, why is this bugging me so much? Why am I so upset that Jake didn't stick up for me? It had nothing to do with Jake. It had everything to do with the fact that no one protected me when I was little. No one stuck up for me.
So then you know
it triggered. Yeah, and it triggered that, and it made me. And then Jake explained, I didn't stick up for you because I knew you could stick up for yourself, and I did. I did stick up for myself, and I did come out of it fine. So, you know, it actually did teach me something and a lot about myself. I don't need anyone to protect me, and I do love the feeling if people, you know, like even my husband, anyone, like, you know, because I still have asshole parents, if anyone says, you know, like, fuck you to someone that was an asshole to me, it feels great, but it's not something I need anymore. And that's just been from Twitter. I mean, that's so
well,
I think
let's be
you
real.
Can learn
it's
a lot
from Jake
Pentland
show and the powerful
it's not
Jake.
The Jake.
I really hate when you say
it's
that.
Social media
Brenda.
Being involved with people.
I have to
you're
say
not.
That, though. I really hate when you say that.
I know. Well, then we should look at that.
He does it too, bug you.
You're putting me in a role of protector,
like,
which is not.
You are so
which is,
full of yourself, though.
No, hold
really.
On. You're placing me in role of protector. Jen did it. I'm not going to name names, but I got a similar DM from somebody else. This person knows.
Yeah, but you put yourself in that
no,
position
I,
because
no,
you
I am,
are the one
the
that
thing.
Started. But
Brenda,
you started the ball rolling, though, Jake. You started
listen,
the ball rolling with Jen.
It's all a plan. There's a method here. I got you to admit you reacted to something that happened in your childhood. That is huge progress, dear. You're not even aware of it right now, what's happening, because it just feels like, oh, it's Jake's doing his thing. When you get off this phone, you're going to stay in that place, and you're going to start fucking rewiring and reconnecting your brain, and you're going to see patterns that happen to you day in, day out. You place me in a role of protector on Twitter. You probably do that with your husband and a lot of weird strangers that you meet. You probably start putting them in these archetypes. You don't even know you're doing it, and now you've seen the other side. You've peered into your own mind, and you can start to now rewire it. You can start to see behaviors and patterns that you do in your life that are no longer benefiting you, that aren't protecting you. You're getting in touch with that childhood pain. That is what personal responsibility is about. And if it takes Jamie Cut Panda and the Cult of Jake and the Jake Pentland Show, thank you, Eli. If it takes us
Eli.
To get you there, you should be happy.
You rub salt.
I'm not rubbing anything in. You have a gift right now. This is an imperative. I want you to focus. This is a huge moment for you right now. Okay?
No, hold on.
The clouds have parted.
It's
not about
you.
Me. No. I'm just joking. Fine. This is about you, Brenda. The clouds have parted for a second. There's sun peering in the clouds right now. And you can
like
close
Easter.
The clouds back up and go back in the dark rainy days if you want. I don't. It's your life, not mine. Or you can use this little moment here of clarity and go all the way. Once you get off the phone with me, you should go back to that place when you're bullied. You should start paying attention to things you do today. You should cry for 8 hours if you have to. You should do whatever you have to do. You have a tremendous opportunity right now. Most people do just get mad. Most people do just attack. Most people do unfollow or don't listen to the show. You're one of the ones that's getting through, and I'm not taking credit for it, don't get me wrong, but this is what I do. This is why I do this fucking show for this moment. So this isn't about my ego. This is about you. And I'm very, very happy that you're here, and I hope you don't blow it. Okay?
And
so
I think the reason it's possible... Well, can I say something really quick before you give her your final advice, Master?
No, I mean, get a therapist.
I think the reason it's possible through social media this way, the reason, and I could recognize that it had, my issue had nothing to do with who I barely remember what even happened, except that Jake didn't defend me. So it had nothing to do with Jake. It had nothing to do with the person that had said something to me. It had to do something with a pattern in my life. And I think because it's so separated from real life, in a sense, but similar to real life, it's a, you know, it's a surreal life on
Matrix.
Twitter. Yeah, it is. And I was able to be less emotional about it because it wasn't happening in person. I could turn it off. I could turn it back on, you know, the internet. And I was able to deal with it at my own pace that way. So I think if you can separate the fact that it's not Jamie attacking you, and I guarantee you if Jamie knew what this – she's not – I don't know if she's listening right now, but when she does, if
she's
she knew – yeah, she's a sweet person, but for some reason maybe she needed to – like it's her own issue why she was attacking
you. Yeah, exactly.
That
no, that's how it works. Jamie's got some homework.
So
to do
she's
I mean,
going to have to look at that too when she listens back to this. Like, why am I attacking this girl because she wants to do a podcast and asking Xander for help? Why does that bother me so much?
Right.
You know, so we all have questions.
Because we're all
okay.
Fucked up, okay? This is my
and I think that's why we say, like, we're not just bullying. We take responsibility for ourselves. Like, I mean, that's where I am. Like, why am I bugging this person? Or why does it bother me so much that this person says, you know, that I'm a whatever, to, you know, so, and then it helps me kind of think about it. And you can turn it off and take breaks when you need to.
You're right, though. I think that she will, if she listens to the show, that she, maybe she'll come to a little bit of realization herself of why did she react like that?
No, she's going to come attack you. That's probably what's going to happen.
No,
I was kidding. Hey,
Brenda. You can turn it off. That's the great part.
You
anyway,
can.
Thanks for taking
hold
my
on.
Call.
Hold on. What are you going to do right when you get off the phone?
Well, first I'm going to have to deal with my husband because he's shaking his head like, are you letting this asshole do this to you again? So I'm going to...
You've got a serious problem. I'm not doing
no,
anything.
he's your protector.
I'm kidding.
You
he's
got
a great
one.
Guy. We've been together 35 years. We were 16.
Write about it. Write about it or something.
Hold on. Brenda, it's not me. That's not protect. This has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with anyone on the call. This doesn't even have anything to do with your husband. This is about you as a kid and the bullying that you dealt with. That's what this is all about. You need to go back there. It's not going to be pretty, okay? I'm going to be really honest with you. If you need to drink, drink, whatever the fuck you got to do to get through it. But you need to go back there. You need to get back on that bus or wherever it happened or whatever bad happened, and you need to sit in it, and you need to feel it again. And you need to connect to the pain. You need to cry, and you need to let that monster out because you're just burying it. You're just pushing its head down, and it's just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I guarantee you, this is what I tell everybody. You know, obviously talk to the therapist. I'm not a therapist, but I do know this. If you face that demon head on and you face that monster head on, you will find 100% of the time that it's not nearly as terrifying as you feel it is right now. And that's the one thing everybody that takes my advice comes back to me and says, 100% of the time. It was scary. It was bad. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. You're probably afraid, like Jen said, that you're going to cry for a month or stab somebody. I guarantee you it's not going to happen. You're probably going to be upset. You're probably going to cry. But you're going to go back there, and it's going to be safe because it's not happening to you anymore. And then after you let it out and you cry it out, your next step is to realize you're not that kid anymore. That isn't happening to you anymore. And you have a loving husband and friends, and you'll start paying attention to the world around you as it really is, and not the illusions you have on it, not placing me as a protector or putting anything on anybody else. You'll start noticing what you have in your real life, and you'll see it, because right now you're taking it for granted, because you're not even a present in your life right now. You're still stuck back in that day. So that's what you're going to do. You're going to go sit back
okay,
there,
okay? Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
But when I got off this phone, I'm not listening to the last few minutes of your show because...
Okay, that's probably good.
No, seriously, and you can admit this. I know that I'm going to hang up and you're going to say, that made me very happy. No, Jen, I can tell you.
I'm with you, and that's the endearing part of Jake you have to ignore.
No, he's going to say, Jen, I am very happy about that phone call. See? I told you what I say works.
Look,
I know. I can. You know what? I can fucking say it in my slip.
Brenda, you're able to deal with childhood trauma easier than letting me admit I was right.
And you're braver than a lot of people in the cult to come on here about what bothered you, just so you know.
I'm completely blown away right now. I'm so blown away right now. I'm not happy. I'm blown away. You impressed me very much. Okay?
But anyway,
thank you, Brenda.
Have a great weekend, you guys. And Jen, you know what? Thank you the other night anyway for what you did, because you'll never know what it meant, what you did.
Oh, well, I love you, and thank you for being brave. Not a lot of people can do that, and I'm sincere on there. I don't like people being treated like shit for no reason. So,
well,
I
just
do,
thank
actually.
You anyway. And Jake, you know what? I'd like to say thank you to you, but fuck, I don't know what the consequences.
Remember, he was trying to get you to stick up for yourself. So that's a gift.
I know.
Too.
And I want you to get over childhood trauma. You will eventually. You will have to throw a party in my honor. You and your husband. No, let's go ahead. Once you're cured, you and your husband should have me over, maybe make an ice sculpture of me, bow to me as your man god. But we're not there yet.
No, actually, I was thinking when I do heal, maybe my husband and I could come and meet you and John one day.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, at Jake's studio.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll go out for dinner and it'll be on us.
For sure.
Aww.
Well, then now we're definitely going. All right, enough of this love fest. Jake Tyler's show is not about love and dinner. This is about insulting people till they cry. All right, I'm not actually going to have a last word because I do have to go. I think I might
take
get
care
lucky.
Of you guys.
You
Thank
too.
You.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank
Bye.
You, everybody. What a fantastic episode this was. Thank you, Brenda. You're awesome.
Take
Thank you,
credit
Jenny,
for it
calling.
Right now.
What's that?
So take credit for it right now, just about.
No,
it.
I'm not going to take credit. The reason I do that, this is the last thing I'll say, the reason I do that is because, now I'll get emotional and honest, I don't think people understand what I'm trying to do here on this podcast, and I know that's my fault. I know I'm not clear. We've said this a million times, but when moments like that happen, I'm happy. Not, you know, for her, I'm happy. But the little part of it that you're picking up on that is ego and is selfish is I'm happy that this does happen to me, that I'm lucky enough that people trust me enough to open up to me. I really do feel like it's a gift from God, and I do feel like I have that gift, and I love it. I love when it happens, and I love when it happens on the air because it does sort of validate all the bullshit and all the drama week in and week out when somebody calls in and cries like that. So it's not ego like you think. I'm just really happy right now.
Oh, there's a bit of ego.
Well, I am the greatest man that ever lived, and I think it's obvious now. All right, I got to go. I want to go see my wife. She's dancing for me sexily.
Oh, wow.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Jake. Sorry I was late.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't protect you that one time because you're a big fucking loser.
You really